This morning, we are starting a new series entitled When God Doesn't. And this study is going through the book of Habakkuk, and that's where we're starting this morning. We're starting in Habakkuk chapter 1. So you can go ahead and turn your Bibles there if you can find Habakkuk, and if you know where it is. It's a very small book. It's actually one of the smaller books in the Bible. You can find that in, of course, the Old Testament, right a couple of books after Jonah, and before you get to the end. It's right there toward the end of the Old Testament. Just a couple of books to the end. But if you don't have your Bibles, you can always follow along on the screens in just a few minutes. Sometimes when we ask God stuff, a question, we get silence. Sometimes when we're trying to figure out what God wants us to do, we get silence. And we don't know what to do when we have this silence. And we're trying to figure out what's happening, why, and God is silent. So think for a moment. Have you ever asked, why God? Have you ever asked, why God? You know, my guess is that you probably have. We all go through the times of asking, why God? Why do these things happen? Why is there so much evil in the world? Why did you lead me here? Why did you leave me here? Where are you? What is going on? Why? 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 You know, I've asked these questions before, and I've got silence on it. And I'm pretty sure that you have too. The first four verses, Habakkuk is dealing with this. This is his prayer to God. He's pouring out what is happening to God. And he's asking these questions to why God left and where God is. So join me as I read Habakkuk chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. The pronouncement that the prophet Habakkuk saw. How long, Lord, must I call for help, and you do not listen, or cry out to you about the violence, and you do not save? Why do you force me to look at the unjust? Why do you tolerate wrongdoing, oppression, violence, right in front of me? Strife is ongoing, and conflict escalates. This is why the law is inefficient and justice never emerge. For the wicked restrict the righteous, therefore justice comes out perverted. So, you know, there might be a question that you have come up. And then the whole time I've been talking here and starting this is who is Habakkuk? What does he have to do with this? And why is this book even in the Bible? Well, hopefully we'll distinguish why the book is here over the next 3 weeks after the day. But not a lot is known about Habakkuk. None of the other prophets, none of the other books mention Habakkuk. We know kind of the time frame that he wrote the book, that he was praying. We know where he was living. But it is a small book. And Habakkuk's name is only mentioned twice in the book. One is in that first verse we read, and the other one's at the end. So we know Habakkuk wrote it. We just don't really know much more about him and who he was. Most likely he was a prophet. We don't know if he really was a priest or not, but we do know that he was a prophet. He wrote this book, and he was living in a time before the Babylonian Empire came in and took over under King Nebuchadnezzar in 1605. So this is right before that. We'll see that next week, actually, when God answers Habakkuk, that it's said in there. So in this time frame, he would have been placed Habakkuk in Judah, which is the northern kingdom of Israel, around 607 BC. During one of the most wicked kings that Judah saw. And that was King. I'm probably going to butcher his name here, but Jock Luckum, whatever. It's one of those weird names to try to pronounce. If you would like to read more about this Wicked King and understand more about where Habakkuk was living and what was going on around him, the story of this king is written in 2 Kings chapter 23, verses 24 through chapter 24, verse 17. There's a lot going on here during this time. I mean, this king was killing, was murdering, was just evil. He was murdering all the prophets. He was murdering just being, I mean, he was evil. Worshipping other gods and all kinds of things. But see, Habakkuk cried out to God because of this. He saw all this and he was crying out to God. He felt that God was not listening to him. He felt that God had abandoned the people of Israel. If you read the, when we read that, you could see that Habakkuk was complaining about all these problems that he saw and all the evil that was around him. But it's a type of prayer. It's not truly complaining to God. See, the Bible, this type of prayer is, you see it in Job chapter 23, and you see it in Psalms 55, and a couple of other Psalms too. This idea of prayer of complaint, or lament is another way of calling it. It's not a lack of faith prayer, but it's a turning our hearts to God and pouring our soul out to God type prayer. It's telling, confessing all the negative thoughts, pains, and emotions, the dark emotions that help transform our faith in God. And it is not a sign of unbelief. See, Habakkuk did not do this because he didn't believe that God wasn't there anymore. He did this because he was truly hurting, and this is how he reflected that true hurt and true pain. A couple of years ago, a band out of Ireland named Reed Collective, you might have heard of them from before, wrote a song in response to the terrorist attacks in London and Manchester. A lot of you probably remember those attacks. This is what he said about writing that song, and I'm going to read just a little bit of the song too in a minute, but this is what he said, so bear with me. The leader of the band named Chris, he said, "It can sometimes be tempting for us to dial back our worship because and become less honest or become divorced from what's going on in the world. But if you look at Psalms, there's this whole genre looking at lament where we lift up songs that were full of truth of what we were going through, the wrestling we were going through, but they are also filled with hopefulness and full of faith. We believe that we have a God who cares about our issues. He wants to hear us honestly wrestling with him. And so we've written this song called Weep With Me. We cannot make the pain go away. We refuse to provide cheap, shallow answers, but hopefully this song can help us. But hopefully this song can give us some vocabulary to bring our raw, unopened wounds before the wound healer who weeps with us in our distress. So the song, Weep With Me. Lord, will you weep with me? I do not need an answer. All I need is to know that you care for me. Hear my plea, or are you even listening? Lord, I wrestle with your heart, but I do not let it go. You know I believe, help my unbelief. Yet I praise your name, yet I sing your name. Here in the shadows, I will offer my praise. What is true in light is still true in dark. You are good, you are kind, and you care for this heart. Lord, I believe you weep with me." You see, guys, this song helped pour out his soul. And see, Habakkuk was doing the same thing. He was pouring out his soul. And he did this. Habakkuk cried out to God for a long time. See, we don't know how long. In verse 2, it says, "How long, Lord, must I call for help and you do not listen?" See, he'd been crying out for a long time, and he had no clue why God wasn't answering him. You know, we can learn things from Habakkuk's prayer. And the first thing that we can see is that it's to share our raw emotions in the seasons of darkness. And that's okay. Well, I've said this before, that prayer is a two-way street. And sometimes that means we show that anger. We show that raw, that pain, that raw emotion. And we pour it out to God. And we allow God to hear all of that. And we don't keep it bottled in. We just pour it out to Him. But you see, when we pour that out, sometimes God seems like He might not respond. And sometimes He seems like He might not be there. So that brings up a question. How do we respond when God doesn't answer? What do we do? What do we do when He seems mute and not there? What do we do when when we pour out our hearts and a God will get silence in return? What do we do with the silence? You know, all throughout Scripture, many different godly men and women struggled with this silence from God. You know, even Jesus Himself, during His greatest need, when His soul was overwhelmed to the point of death in Mark 14, this was right in Garden of Gethsemane, right before He was going to the cross and being, right before all that stuff happened, He poured out His heart to God 3 times, asking God to spare Him and take this from Him. But as far as Scripture is recording, God never answered Him. So you see, God, there's a lot of people that struggle with this. But silence from God does not mean that He's forsaken His people. He is always present with us, even in the silence. You see, in verse 3 and 4, Habakkuk lays out all the stuff that's going on too. And he lays out all this violence that's happening. And it's rough for him. I mean, this is a rough time for the country. It's a rough time for what's about to happen with this evil power that's going to come and take over and destroy. I mean, he lays out all this conflict, destruction, the killing, the violence. Just lays it out from God. And yet God was still silent. And says nothing. But you see, God, by God being idle, he thought that God was allowing the wrongdoing, that the evildoers to go unpunished, the evil to grow, the unjust to be prevalent. See, when we believe that God is silent and His answers doesn't answer our prayers, and we don't hear a word from Him, we often jump to the conclusion that He doesn't care. We often say He doesn't care about me. He doesn't care about my problems. He doesn't really hear us. However, that's not, like I said a minute ago, that's not how it works. And over the next couple of weeks, as we dive into the series, we see that God is active and He does answer prayers. But merely at this point, Habakkuk merely just doesn't realize that God is going to answer his prayer. And sometimes it takes time for God to answer our prayers. It's not sometimes immediate. Sometimes it takes time. So how then do you respond during the rough times? How do we respond in seasons of darkness and disappointment? Kind of like Habakkuk was going through. You know, there's 4 things we can do during these seasons of darkness. And we see them through scriptures. First is we pour out our heart to God. That unedited emotions, we pour it out to Him. We just let God have it however our hearts are feeling. We see that in Psalms 142, verse 2. It says, I pour my complaints before Him. I reveal my troubles to Him. Pour out your heart to God. Allow Him to feel your troubles and your pains. Do not sugarcoat anything. Because God is real and He's wanting to be there for you. The second thing is is to continue to exercise our faith and our trust in God. Psalm 62, verse 8. Trust in Him all the time, you people. Pour out your hearts before Him. God is our refuge. Take refuge in that God is the Savior. And that He can help you through your dark times. The third is we have to be able to confess our doubts, our disappointments, our struggles to God as well. We have to. I mean, that's part of this prayer. We have to be able to tell God about these things that we're struggling with and talk to Him. It's a two-way street. We have to be willing to share all of that with God. The fourth and final thing that we can do during those rough times is we can have rest in the faith and love of our Heavenly Father. See, we talked about having rest last week at last Thursday at Bible study. And having rest is one of those amazing things when you just rest in the loving Spirit of God and rest in that love that He pours out for everyone, because He is your loving Father. And He, like we sang this morning, He's that one that can love you. So you have to be willing to pour out your heart and soul to God, even in the dark moments. The dark times. You can't turn and just ignore God even in the dark times. God is still there. Even in the silent moments when we're pouring out our soul, God is still there. And we're going to see that over the next couple of weeks. And we're going to look at how God responds to Habakkuk in after these first four verses. See, when we're facing the dark times, go to God with them. Share those pains, those hurts, those hard times, those feelings. Just pour out your soul. And even when you ask, why God? God, why does this happen? Just pour it out to Him. Pour out your soul. But see, when we are Christ followers, that's easy to do for us. And it's going to happen. You're going to have dark times, even as Christ followers. But if you have not ever been a Christ follower and you don't know what that means, it means truly turning your heart and your mind toward Christ and becoming like Christ. And that takes work to become like Christ. But that is an amazing step in faith. It's having faith that God is who He says He is and the belief that He will take care of you. During those dark moments. So if that's something you would like to know more about and look more about becoming a Christ follower, please shoot me a message or post in the comments or shoot me an email at info@odccsherwoodpark. All of those are great ways to get a hold of me, and just let me know that you want to know more about how to become a Christ follower. And I can pray with you and guide you through those steps. Because it's amazing when we all rejoice when you do become a Christ follower. But for those that are, pour out your heart to God. Allow God to see those raw and negative emotions. Don't hide anything back. Because we all have those moments. Join me as I close this time in prayer. Heavenly Father God, we pour out our emotions to You. We pour out all of those negative things that happen in our life, the evil that is around us. We pour all of that out to You, God. Our hearts are hurting. And we want You to know that to heal us and guide us. God, even in the silent moments, we know that You are there. God, and I pray for each and every person that is watching that they can pour out their spirit, and they are pouring out their soul to you and their heart to you as they go throughout the day. God, because you are the loving Father that loves us no matter what. And what a God we serve. And we serve you. In your name we pray. Amen.